Praise and blessings to all of you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So good to be on one more time on this Wednesday evening Bible study. I'm Bishop Carl Dixon with Abundant Grace and Truth Church. Our main location is out of Westwood, New Jersey, but because of COVID, we're not back in our building. Praise the Lord anyway. But thank God the opportunity to come on virtually with you and to be able to have the opportunity to speak the word of God with you. Very important that God's word still goes out. No matter if we're inside or outside or wherever we're at, it's very important that we be in God's house. And that's what it's all about, being in God's house. Let me just make sure everything is stable here. Let me just make sure my internet connections are right here. Okay. I just want to make sure. One second. Let me just make sure my internet is connected correctly. Okay. All right. That looks better. Amen. So thank God for all of you, those who are on Facebook that are just joining me. God bless you so much, Sister Nina, and others who are going to join us later on and have the opportunity to be on with us. We just bless you. We give God the glory for all that he has done, all that he's going to continue to do as he watch over us and allow the word of God to go forth. Amen, and be a blessing to you. So let's go to God in prayer as we ask God's blessing over this time in God's word. Father, we bless you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity. It is an opportunity for us to come in your presence. Thank you, Lord God, for your love and your grace. Thank you, oh God, for the opportunity to come and to read your word, not just read it, but to eat it, oh God, impart it in our heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And God, we bless you. God, we give you the praise. And God, we ask you right now, God, that you'll go before us, oh God, that you will be glorified, oh God, that you will be magnified. Bless each and every one, oh God, that hear this word, oh God. Let us not be just hearers only, but doers of your word. God, just stir us up, oh God, to enjoy the study of your word, oh God. And we invite others, oh God, who may be out there, oh God, who have an opportunity, oh God, to join us in this Bible study. God, bless them, oh God, as they come, as they listen to us, oh God, as they join us, oh God. We invite them, oh God, if those are out there that's hearing this message right now. If you got friends on Facebook, click that share button, share this word with them, allow them to come and be with us this evening. Father, I pray your blessings over each and every one that would join us this evening, oh God, that you would bless this time. And God, meet every need, oh God, even today, oh God, every need, oh God, the bereaving families. There's so many bereaving families, oh God. Touch them in the name of Jesus. Let your word go forth. My families in Germany, in Middle East, oh God, who've been joining us, oh God, I thank God for them, oh God, each and every one over in Germany, over in Africa, over in the Middle East, in India. Thank you for them having an opportunity to join this Bible study. Father, bless those in Pakistan, and God, bless those all over the world, every country. If I didn't say their name, God, bless them. As they hear this word, let the word go forth in full force, in full spirit, and full strength. We give you the praise and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Again, I'm Bishop Carl Dixon. I thank God for you joining us this evening. I pray that God's word will bless you. Brother James Brown, God bless you. Brother Kenneth Perry, God bless you. So good to have you on. Thank you again, Sister Nina, and those who would join us in a few minutes on Facebook. Also, on our podcast, thank you for having an opportunity to join us on our podcast. We welcome you. Some of these Bible studies and studies have not been loaded on our podcast as of yet, but they will be loaded soon as we go along. Amen. So we've been studying in the book of Revelation. Teaching in the book of Revelation. It's been over a year, almost going on almost a year and a half. And we've been still in this book. We're in chapter 21, then chapter 22. And thank God for the opportunity just to be disciplined enough just to stay on the word. There was a few Bible studies that we deviated a little bit. We went to another subject that the Holy Spirit led us, but we stayed with this teaching in the book of Revelation. And we're going to continue. We're going to continue in that study tonight as we go into God's word. I'm going to, Lisha, before you put the Bible study on, I want to read some of the main scriptures that we're going to cover. We're not going to read the whole book of Revelation 21, but I just want to get started in reading some of the chapter 21 verses, maybe 1 through 7 or so. Let's just read it. If you have your Bible, Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 1. John the Revelator says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, my God. God said to John, he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. May God add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Let the church say thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. We're continuing in this study in the book of Revelation because it is necessary that the people of God understand where we're going. You see, the world has this, when I say the world, I'm referring to those outside of the body of Christ, those outside of the word of God, the wisdom of God, which brings the life of God. When you're outside of the word of God, you create a fantasy. You create a world of your own. You create a world that is not godly, that is not biblical, that is not scripture. You create a world that is anti-God, anti-word, and a world that really, after a while, it somehow complements the role of Satan, the role of our enemy, of our souls. Because anything outside of the word of God is false, is a lie. And so the word of God comes to bring truth. It comes to bring life. And as we study the word of God, we have seen it. I'm not going to go through Revelations 1 through Revelations 20, but we see God moving in the past, the present, and in the future. John the Revelator, who is seeing what God wanted him to see, is getting a revelation right firsthand with God. On the most part, he was, in scripture, he was talking to the angels. The angel told him to do this. The angel brought him here and took him there. But in Revelation, as we see, and we're going to read on in Revelation chapter 21, God began to speak to John himself. The Bible says in verse 5, I'm just going to touch that, and he that sat upon the throne, no one else sits upon the throne but God. He said to John, behold, I make all things new. My God. And he said unto me, write these words, for they are true and faithful. That we just proven that this is God speaking to John at this point. And the Bible says, verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha. So who is talking now? God. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that thirst. See, it's God speaking to John. It comes in a time in our life, we must really consider the fact that God wants us to understand that he's in control over all things. Lice, you can put place the notes up. I want to share some notes with you that we have received from our Preacher's Outline Sermon Bible, some of the notes that come from the Preacher's Outline Sermon Bible. I have those notes. I've been sharing them all through this book of Revelation. I credit them. I have an electronic Bible called the Word Search. And the Word Search, I got all kinds of books, encyclopedias, Bibles, translations, all kinds of, you name it, as far as references, Greek, Hebrew, Latin, Aramaic. I got all kinds of translation. And it's all on my computer. If I was to have all those books here, it'll fill up this room. This room will be full. But thanks be to God for the Word Search software that allows me to download or access the Preacher's Outline Sermon Bible notes and to share them with you. So, Elijah, if you have those notes, if you can share those on the screen. Good notes here. And in these notes, we're going to go through the introduction section. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. It has an introductory section, but we're just going to look at this word and get some of this word. Amen. Okay. Well, I'm going to, I'll just start reading. As she's getting it prepared, I'll just start reading some of the notes. In reference to verse 1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea." The writer here in part of his notes, he says, "What will eternity be like?" My goodness. What will eternity be like to live with God forever and ever? What will eternity be like? I mean, we move and We go from place to place. I saw a neighbor was moving. He got the truck, the van lines truck, whatever the name of the truck company, and they out there moving stuff and picking up stuff and taking it from one place to the next. And that's great. That's great. But when Jesus comes, when God comes back for his people, there's going to be no truck out there. But it's going to be God. He's going to take us to our home, to our new home. And so the writer says, what will it be like to live with God forever and ever? This chapter of Revelation tells us all the bad and negative things of this world are going to be conquered and destroyed. All the negative things of this world are going to be conquered and destroyed. All the negative things. All of them negative things that have anything to do with you, that frustrate you, that high blood pressure, families, lawsuits, lawyers, and people who come and all kinds of violence. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to be wiped away. And so the chapter Revelation tells us that all the bad, negative things of this world are going to be conquered and destroyed. And all the pollution and impurities, all the ungodly and evil, all the suffering and pain, all the corruption and death is going to be erased, eliminated, and done away with. The day is coming when there will be no more impure governments. Listen, I'm not anti-government. We need government on this earth while we're on this earth. Come on. There's a lot of anarchists out there who say, we don't need government. We are running. No, I don't trust no anarchists no more than I trust the arms of flesh. The Bible says, don't put your trust in the arms of flesh because it will fail you every time. We need order. We need the police. We need the army. Come on, somebody. Okay, you don't believe it, but somebody don't believe it, but I believe it. Because I've been in times when gangs and murderers and killers were right next to me, breathing down my neck. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be no broadcast right now. But thank God for the police. We're able to call the police. We're able to call whoever to get help in the time of need. And so they're not perfect, and they're not the purest people. No, they got faults just like everybody else. But we got to work with something. And thank God we have what we have. So all the impure governments, corrupt religion. Religion is just a way of life. Come on, we're still in Revelation. But religion, when God comes, all that religious stuff, well, I'm First Baptist and Second Baptist and First Pentecostal and Second Pentecostal and First Church, Second Church, and I'm Methodist, AME, AME Zion, I'm Lutheran, I'm this and that, and because of our religious stance, and many love Jesus in all these denominations, Catholic, love Jesus. But there are some who don't love Jesus. They just love the fact that I'm part of this organization. But guess what? They're not going to heaven. They're not destined for heaven. And so all the impure, corrupt religion, huh? Bad leaders, painful of suffering, sin and temptation, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more death. My God, it's going to be done away with. All that stuff going to be done away with. He's going to wipe that away from us. We ain't going to have that no more. That's going to be all gone. All gone. No more. And so God will wipe the tears from my eyes. The Bible says he's going to wipe. Let me share the notes. Elijah, I'll share the notes for right now. Okay, with our audience. Okay, there you go. Okay. And so let me just raise it up a little bit so you can see a little better. Okay. So all the corruption, all the evil stuff, all the evil ways, it's going to be done away with. It's going to be no more of that. Okay? No more tears, no more pain, no more crying. In verse 1, it says, God is going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. There will be the new creation, the new heaven and the earth. The heavens, the heavenly bodies in outer space and the earth, and earth that we know now are going to be done away with, put away with. The earth that we know now. All the heavens above, the sun, the moon, the earth, the planets are going to be destroyed and remade. I was in college and I took a really interesting class called geology and astronomy. I took geology, but also took astronomy. And astronomy was very interesting because we studied the stars, the solar system. And it was a very great opportunity to understand our Earth, our orbit, how we rotate, and how the Earth rotates, and how the other planets rotate, and understanding the sun. What was amazing to me was that, we have a sun that we look at or that reflects on us every day, that gives us heat and many other things that it gives us. It helps control our atmosphere. And so I found out there's more than one sun. Planets have different suns. Each planet have a different sun. Okay. We have this sun, the sun that we look at, that we are affected by every day. Other planets may also be affected by it, but guess what? There are other planets in this galaxy or all over the galaxy. And guess what? That are affected or impacted by other suns. Isn't that interesting? And so when you look at that, you realize from the scripture point of view, we're going to have a new planet. We're going to have a new sun. Huh? We're going to have a sun that's going to scorch us and burn us. We're not going to have a sun like that. No. Matter of fact, there's a scripture. I'm not sure if I covered that or not, but there's a scripture that says the light of heaven is going to come from the throne of God. It's going to come from God himself. God's presence, Jesus, is going to light up heaven. Could you imagine that? I had a dream. I told it before, it bears repeating. Not a dream. This was real. I had a real experience when I was, I must have been about 21 or so. And make a long story short, I was, my twin brother, we stayed in the same room. We lived at East Orange, and he had went away to Detroit, I think it was, for the trip, crusade, our church was going on a crusade. So he went to Detroit. I stayed home. while I was getting down to say my prayers, I was saying my prayers, and I was praying in the room. I turned around. The light was already off. I think the street light was coming through the room. But I turned around, and as I turned around to just sit and to lay back in the bed, a bright image came in the room. It was in back of me, and it lit up the room. And I did like this. What? And I don't even remember a second. I don't even remember my head hitting the pillow. All I remember was seeing the image, and I went out blank. I didn't wake up in the middle of the night. When I woke up in the morning, it was like somebody just put air back in me, like. And when I woke up, opened my eyes, and I said, listen, I said, what just happened? I had just got off my knees, looked, turned around, and this image was so bright, I couldn't take it. It just put me to sleep, laid me down, laid me on the bed. The power of God. I don't know if it was the angel. I don't know who it was. I ain't going to say Jesus came in my room and God, I am not going to do that. But there's angels who carry a presence just like that. And so I woke up, I said, what was that? What just happened? God's presence is so awesome. The Bible says that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Now, in Revelation chapter 20, we talked about that. How God's going to come and judge the earth. How Satan, Lucifer, the false prophet, the Antichrist, those who wanted to follow them, they're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. They're going to be, that's going to be it. And when that takes place, that's when the new heaven, my God, and the new earth going to come into being, going to come into place. And so he says here that all number one, underneath the first number one, the second number one, says all the heavens above, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets are going to be destroyed and remade. God is going to make a new heaven. Think about what this means. There'll be no more violent thunderstorms, typhoons, tsunamis, hurricanes, destructive rain and weather. No more stars, solar systems that are burned out. Wow. Heaven itself is going to thrill us. I would say for a lifetime, it's going to thrill us for eternity. Isn't that something? Time will be no more. Oh, God. I'm trying to teach this Bible study and stay focused. But when you think about this, time will exist no more. Time will be no more. There'll be no more time. Time will be no more. There'll be no more. Oh, let me see what time it is. Are we in heaven's time or Eastern Standard Time? Time will be no more. Time won't exist anymore. Time will be done away with. There'll be no more time. My God. Time, think about it. Time, we heard that song in some of the old spiritual songs that time will be no more. It will be no more. That will be it. There'll be no more time. Let me see what time, how much time do I have? How much time in heaven? And how long will heaven be? How long will we worship God? How long will we praise God? Forever. That's hard. Listen, that's hard to fathom. That's hard to fathom. You know why? Because our mind, our brain, our when we came from the Garden of Eden, see, Adam, when he was created, he was created to live forever. And every one of us who would come from Adam, guess what? We would be built to live forever. God has a capacity for everybody. Could you imagine the millions and probably billions of people that was born on this earth? Think about those who died, aborted, those who was killed, those who were murdered, the centuries from century, the time of creation to now, all the people that were created. God has a He had a capacity for every one of us. Huh? Every one of us. Time will be no more. And so the Bible talks about heaven and earth shall pass away. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. But God's word shall abide forever. It's going to abide forever. And so it says here, as we continue in our study here, let me get back to our study. Okay, let me just lower that down here. Okay. And so the writer says, think about what it would mean to have a universe full of living planets, stars, and solar system. Think about what it would mean to have a universe full of living plants, planets and stars and solar system. We cannot imagine the glory and the beauty. It is beyond our finite minds, again. But note the significance of the point, the significant point. The scriptures declares emphatically that the heavens is to be remade and recreated into a new heaven, into a new, did I say old heaven? Into a new heaven. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Look at that, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Let me go to that. We'll read that together. Okay. Let's read that together. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, I think I said. Okay. There it is. Okay. Let me see if you can see that with me. Raise that up. It says, but the day, verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with what? A great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth, church. This ain't going to be the same place that we thought about years ago. We're going to have a new place. The earth is going to pass away. There is going to be a new earth. The present earth is defective. It is cursed, but the day is coming when God is going to remake the earth. God is going to create a new earth. Think what this means. No more disaster or destruction. I just heard, sister told me, a young man, I don't know if young or old, middle age or what, was in a car going to work, planning to go to work this morning. We had thunderstorms and high winds the last 2 days. And this morning, the wind, man got out to go to his car, get ready to go to work. I'm not sure where he was at. Either he had left or he was parked. But the wind hit a tree and caused the branch or part of the tree to fall down. And it was two men. One was saved. One was spared. He didn't get killed. But the other one, he got killed. There's going to be no more destruction. There's going to be no more 9/11. There's going to be no more nuclear wars. No more thorns or thistles or unfertile or unproductive soil. Come on. No more hunger or thirst. You know, the millions of people are suffering hunger and thirst because of somebody's politics, because of somebody's hatred, because of somebody's prejudice. Many of people are dying right this moment. Now, I'm not talking about 40, 50 years ago, which it happened, but right this moment, because of somebody's prejudice, because of somebody's hatred. There's nothing but the devil in it. No more disease, no more COVID-19, no more sugar diabetes, no more cancer. My God, no more disease, no more decay, erosion, death. Your teeth? Some of you got partials. I understand that. But guess what? There can be no more teeth erosion. No more dentists. Sorry, dentists, you're going to be out of business. No more dentists. Jesus is going to be, our physician is going to be Dr. Jesus. Just being his presence is going to heal us all by itself. The Bible then says, in verse 1, it says, there will be no more sea. No more sea. The sea will be eliminated, done away with. The new earth will have no sea, or it can mean that the same thing that it is meant with the heavens and earth is going to be done away with. No more sea. Could you imagine the depths of the sea, the hundreds and hundreds of feet down in the sea? The sea going to be done away with. In order for God to bring this new heaven and this and down to earth, he's going to have to do what? He's going to have to get rid of everything. Anything in the way. The heavens and the earth and the sea are to pass away and to be made anew and recreated. The sea that causes devastation and destruction will be destroyed right along with the earth and heaven. But when they are created, the sea being part of the earth will be part of the new earth, part of the new creation. Bible says it in Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Till all be fulfilled. The way the Hebrew scriptures were written and the jot or tittle is part of the grammar, a grammatical formation of the Hebrew. It says not one of these by no wise is going to pass away until what? Until everything that God said be fulfilled. Everything that has been spoken is going to be fulfilled by God. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word, listen, God's word shall not pass away. If he said you're going to be blessed, you're going to be blessed. People all day, let's talk about this for a moment. Still in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. You haven't got past there yet. But in verse 1, guess what? We find that many times people try to curse us. You can't curse a believer. You can't curse what has already been blessed. I'm blessed. You can't stop me no matter how you try unless God permits you. We find that in the scriptures. God dealt with Abraham. God dealt with Joseph. God dealt with who? Job. We all know about Job. Satan, Lucifer himself, wanted to get part of Job. But God says, you can touch part of him, his body and all that, but don't, you can't touch his soul. You can't do that. He did. He touched his body, took his family, took his children, took his cattle, took his millions, took his money, took his livelihood, took it all away. But God knew within inside of that man of God, inside of whoever you are, you man of God, woman of God, child of God, God knows inside of you. God, things may be taken away from you, but God knows inside of you is a faith, is a strength, is an authority of God's word that you know that I'm going to stand in the midst of adversity. I'm going to stand when nothing else is standing or when no one else is standing. I'm going to stand and do what God tells me to do. 2 Peter 3:10-13. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. You ever had somebody break in on you at night? I had. We're living in the projects. I'm not going to tell that story, but a thief comes. You don't even know he's in there. The Bible says, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt away with fervent heat. We just read that. And it says that, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation? What manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation, behavior, and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, looking for the new heaven and the new earth, wherein dwells all righteousness. What does the Bible says? Seeing then, if we know that God is going to come as a thief in the night, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation, behavior, and godliness? Word is speaking to somebody. If we know that the Lord is coming back, let me talk for a moment. If we know that the Lord is coming back, we know he's coming back. We know he's coming back. The Bible talks about our conversation. We got to be careful about our conversation. Am I correct? We got to be careful on what we're saying. We got to be careful on who we're speaking to. Come on, church. Our conversation. Our conversation must be right before God. It can't just be, I just came from church, but you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Listen, I'm sorry to say this, and I'm very sorry to say this. Many people who've been going to church for years, their mother went, father went, grandfather went, they all went to church. But many of them, guess what? They ain't gonna make it into heaven. They're not gonna make it. The scriptures emphatically says here, it says, seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we as Christians to be in all holy conversation, which refers to our behavior and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven. Listen, we got to be careful in what we're saying. Move it up right there, Elijah. Move it down a little bit. Now back down to, we're reading 2 Peter 3, verse 10 through 13. Okay, she's back with us. Now go back up. Now, right at the middle of the second page. Right there. Leave it right there. Thank you. And so we got to get ourselves together. The scripture says that God is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a righteous church. He's not coming back for an excuse church. Well, you know, I didn't have an opportunity. No, Lord, you missed me. Listen, we talked about it last week. Pastor Angie ministered so powerfully on it this Sunday about heaven and hell. When you stand before that great white throne judgment, now understand this, you can read it yourself in Revelation chapter 20. That great white throne judgment is for the unbelievers, those who did not make it into heaven, who will not make it into heaven. And God will say unto you, stand on my left. You don't want to stand on God's left side. If you are gossiping, listen. If you're running around talking about the preacher, man of God, the woman of God, listen, talking about your brother or sister in Christ, and you think you're just going to slip into heaven just like that? Oh, I made it in. You better get it together. Because God's coming. The Bible says he's coming as a thief in the night. A thief in the night. We got to get ourselves together. We got to stop this fighting and bickering. You know, COVID-19, if it taught us anything, is that nothing here is permanent. Your job, your church. Many people in the church still think, it's my church and I'm in control. You're not in control of your breath that you breathe. I'm sorry to be getting down on somebody tonight. But we got to get it together. Stop this fighting and feuding. And I'm on this side. I don't want to start. Isaiah 51:6 says, lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away. The heavens are going to vanish away like smoke. And the earth shall wax old like a garment. They that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. See, your righteousness is not going to be thrown away. God got you. Those things that you've been doing for the Lord. What did we study? First Corinthians 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For ye know that your work, your labor, and your work in the Lord is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that something? Your labor is not in vain. God's got you. Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. Get that verse here. It says, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her, what? Adorned for her husband. The new Jerusalem. There will be the new city of God, the new Jerusalem, not the old Jerusalem. Listen, I didn't have a chance to go to the Middle East yet. Love to go there, love to see it. But there's going to be a new Jerusalem. The idea is that new Jerusalem will be the capital city. Leave it right there, Locke, because I can't read it. Leave it right there. Thank you. The idea is that the new Jerusalem will be the new capital city in the new heaven and the new earth. Wow. It will be the place where the very presence of God is symbolized. God's presence, of course, will be manifest everywhere in the new heavens and the earth. Manifest in the glory, manifest in the majesty. But the holy city will give believers a place with which to identify as they serve God throughout the universe. The next verse shows this. The heavenly city is the tabernacle, the very presence of God that comes down to dwell with man. Wow. It's hard to imagine this. But the truth of it all is in God's word. God is going to dwell in the New Jerusalem. And we're going to be there seeing him for all eternity. Wow. The glory of God. Listen, in these vessels, we can't handle his presence. Move it up a little bit, Laisha. We can't handle God's presence in this. We can't take it. We can't. Right there, Laisha, right there. We can't take this. I believe that supernaturally, when John was receiving this revelation, that God supernaturally had to give him a transformed body. Had to give him a transformed body. Because he was actually in the presence of God. Because God spoke to him. We just read that. God spoke to John. So God had to give him a supernatural suit, supernatural skin, supernatural brain to see all of this, to memorize all this. And you know, I think, you know, it is awesome when we think about that. I'm not trying to be weird or out of space, but the reality is this. Think about this, how awesome God is. When we think about this, how powerful God is. Now I want to relate this to John, what John, as he's receiving this revelation. And you ponder on it too yourself. When Lazarus died, remember when Jesus was going and they, Mary said, Lazarus was dead and they all crying, you know, Jesus get here because he's going to die. And the time Jesus got there, he had died. He dead. 3 days, he dead. He in the tomb. They embalmed him and I'm not sure if they put whatever in him, but Jewish customs, they wrapped him up. They put him in the tomb. You dead, man. You can't keep you no longer. No breath, no life, no movement. That's it. You gone. Brain cells gone. Organs just died, ceased, kidneys, boom, that's it, heart, bops, that, everything's gone. Dead. Jesus comes there, supernaturally speaks to Lazarus, raising him from the dead. Just think about this for a second. Jesus supernaturally increases antibodies, increases blood cells, increases brain, tissue, heart, oxygen, and Lazarus come back to life. All those dead cells, all those dead everything comes back to life. God recreates life, whatever life consists of. Organs, oxygen, H2O, water, everything inside of him. They didn't come and give him a glass of water. They didn't come him and slap him with, you know, give him what's it, heart to heart, or what they call that, CPR. They didn't, no. That Jesus just spoke the word. Now I'm saying that to relate to John, the Revelator. He's in heaven. To write all that he's seen and have seen, God had to do something to, for his capacity to write this down and to memorize this in his mind so when he came out of it, he can write it down. Supernatural. He had to be in some kind of supernatural form. And I'm saying that to conclude this. God is powerful. I believe, listen, musicians, God bless you, Psalmist. I saw that you were on here earlier. God bless you. So good to have you on with us tonight. I believe, listen, I went to school to study music. I went to college and I studied it. And I wasn't the greatest, but I understood it. I understood it. And great time, great musicians. And I studied the jazz, studied the classical, all that stuff. But thank God, it was beautiful. But I also understand this one thing. I had a teacher one time. I love stories to tell you because I want to illustrate the power of God's word. I had a teacher one time. He was a jazz instructor. His name was Joe Newman, Fathead Newman. Traveled around the world, trumpet player, played with all the bigs. I believe he died not long ago. And I was in a class with him one day. And we was doing this this exercise. It wasn't a song. It was just an exercise. And the instructions from doing the exercise, it was to allow you to breathe and blow the trumpet and create a flow and not have any you know distractions, but to understand how music flows. And it was other things behind that. So, and it wasn't just reading the music, it was just the flow. So I picked up my trumpet and I played this rhythmic pattern. And I played it real quick. And it wasn't a long phrase, it was a short phrase. And my teacher said, you know, Carl, he touched my hand. He says, let me play it like this. So he picked up his trumpet and he opened this. Listen, I was in the room. He opened the window. The window was about at least 7 feet high, but it was it opened like this. And believe me, we were on like the 8th, 9th floor. And you really didn't want to stoop over because it didn't have anything blocking you from falling out that window. But he opened that window and he began to play. And listen to this. As he played, the hairs on my arm stood up. I said, ooh. And it wasn't a righteousness the way he played. It was an evil spirit that came in that room. An evil spirit. And I said, ooh, he said, Carl, do you understand how I'm playing? Now, when he said that, all of a sudden somebody knocked on the door and they said, are you Joe Newman? You got a phone call. And he said, Carl, be right back. Let me get this call. Let me see what's going on. He comes back and says, Carl, I have to stop right now. This is going to be our last lesson. I have to go. I have to do a tour overseas. I'm being called right now. So I'm so sorry, but hey, I enjoyed my time with you. He left. You don't know how happy I was that he left out that room. Because I felt the spirit come in that room. I said, oh, what was that? Now, it wasn't him, but it was a spirit that came in that room. And so from that experience, I started to understand from a Christian point of view, from a believer's point of view, the power that we have as musicians. When David played that instrument, the Bible says that when he played it before Saul, that spirit left him. I believe as people, as men and women of God, as we play our instrument, not just to be jazzy, not just to be cool, not just to play it funky, not just to play it, man, I got this riff. No, but to play it in the spirit I believe people can get delivered and saved and set free. Minds can be restored and people can be moved from, by the power of God. As you play that instrument, I believe the power and the anointing of God comes in there. If you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's an anointing that comes in when you play it under the anointing. And I also believe that in music, see, in heaven, oh my God, I'm excited about, man, we hardly get to finish verse 2. Man, in heaven, my God, the music, oh my God, it's going to be second to none. And music today, those who are musicians, we have what we call chromatic scales. We have, you know, you know, we have the regular pentatonic scale, but in between the pentatonic scales, we have what we call half steps, you know, like C, C sharp, D, D, D sharp, E, E, F, F, F sharp, or D flat. And so we got these in between notes. Let me tell you about heaven. Woo! I'm getting excited. In heaven, there's going to be in between notes that we never even heard before. There's sounds in heaven, there's colors, hues, what they call them in art, that we have never seen before. Because guess what? Our ears and our eyes in this natural body can't handle it. Oh my God. I'm talking about a new heaven and the new earth. Jesus. God, my God, my God. Heaven. To every musician, every artist, when you draw, think about the anointing of God that comes upon you when you draw it and you're drawing something and you're seeing something that never been seen by eyes before, never been drawn by hands before. When you're playing songs that never been sung, and they said, where did they get that song? The psalmist, how did she come up with that? Who told her and showed her that song? Came from heaven. Oh, let me finish this. Woo. And so it says here, the Lord's throne will sit in the New Jerusalem, and from there he will rule and reign throughout eternity. Note that the city comes down from heaven. It is not constructed here on earth. God has it built in heaven, then moves it to earth. Note also that it is said to be a beautiful, prepared as a bride is for her husband. This point us both to the beautiful city and to our longing desire to have God's presence right here on earth with us. Remember that Jesus told his disciples that he's gone away to prepare a place for them. That there's a possibility that he is referring to his preparing the New Jerusalem for us. John, move it up a little bit, Laisha. John 14, verse 2 through 3 tells us that in my Father's house there are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and what receive you unto myself, that where I go, that where I am, excuse me, Jesus says, there ye may be also. Verse 3, the Bible says, Revelation 21:3, and we're going to end on that, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The very tabernacle of God, the very tabernacle of God will be set up right here on earth. The tabernacle is a picture of the tabernacle of the Old Testament, the worship center of Israel, the place where the very presence of the glory of God dwells in a special way. When Jerusalem is established upon earth, God's glory and presence will be forever upon earth. God's presence will never again be dulled or removed from the presence of God's people. Oh my God. Move that up a little bit, Lon. Move it right. Move it down just a little bit more. Right there. The one thing for which man longs for is the presence of God, the glory of God. Let me say this. I never want to be without the presence of God. And I'm going to say this, and I want to end on this. I really want to end on this. when we come to church, or when we're in our homes, and when we come before the Lord, it shouldn't be for no other reason but to get into the presence of God. Yes, the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. But read in between the lines, in his presence, there's no foolishness. There's no lying. There's no cheating. We're empty before God in his presence. When we stand in heaven, there's going to be no scheme. Well, let me figure out. Let me see if I can take a shortcut. There is no shortcuts with God. I'm talking to somebody tonight. There's no shortcuts with God. There's no shortcut. There's no shortcuts. God bless you, Pastor Richard Spaulding. God bless you, man of God. Amen. There's no shortcuts with God. I can get away with this. No, there's no shortcuts with God. You got to stay right with God. And so when we come to church, listen, I want to get into God's presence. I've been in services. You can stop right there, Lord. Just unshare that. Thank you. I've been in services where the presence of God was so imminent. So imminent. I mean, it was so powerful that there was no preaching. There was no more preaching. Why? Because God's presence was there. It was God's presence. That's what I'm longing for, God's presence. I'm not longing for, when I go to minister, a lot of times, we get a little anxious to minister the word, and we get, look, his presence. If we don't have God's presence, we're empty. We need God's word too. I ain't putting that back on no back burner. We got to have God's word. But his presence, if we ain't got his presence, that word is not going to be anointed at all. Those singers, they're going to sing nice and pretty, and they're going to look sweet and nice, but they ain't going to have no anointing. I got to have God's presence. And as we read John, it's telling us about God's presence. We got to get God's presence when we come to worship in our churches. Leave all that, who's in my seat, who wore my dress. Forget all that when you come to church. Forget all that when you get down on your knees to pray before God. Forget all that. Let it go. Get into God's presence. My God. When Moses went into the temple to pray and to worship, and his sister and Aaron, brother Aaron, they went up there and they were complaining. Hey, Moses, guess what? Who told you to marry that Ethiopian? I know we're in church, but who told you to marry her? The presence of God came up in there and ran them all out of there. And he began to reprove Aaron and Miriam for what they were saying. It was not just what they were saying, it's what they were doing inside of the temple. And as a result, God had to deal with them. Miriam was a leprosy was put on Miriam. She had to go out. And for days or weeks, she couldn't come back in the camp. She couldn't come back in the presence. She couldn't come back with God's people because they're complaining. Some of us, our mouths are leprosies. That's a new word, leprosies. I just created that one. Because we're complaining too much. And we wonder why the anointing isn't falling on us, because we've been complaining too much. Come on, stop the complaining. Let's get into God's presence. God loves us. And that's why he says, enter my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. In his presence, he wants us to come into his presence. I'm ending now. If you're out there, as we read in Revelation, and you're a believer, and you're saying, you know what, Bishop Dixon, word has touched me. I want to make sure that my heart is right with God. I want to make sure that there's nothing blocking me from getting into God's presence. Let me pray with you right now. I'm going to pray for the unbeliever, but let me pray for the believers right now. Father, I pray for every believer. Come on, bow your head. I pray for them right now, God, that Father, that your word will take full effect in their lives right now. And God, that they will submit to your word today. And Lord God, that the next time they bend on their knees, next time they get into your presence, next time they go to church and worship, whether virtually or in person, Father, that they'll remember that they came to worship you. And God, help them, oh God, to remove all the hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness. Remove it out of their life, oh God, that they may live for you, that they may walk in your love, walk in your grace, and experience your power like never before. And I pray for the unbeliever, those who don't know Jesus tonight. If you out there, you don't know Jesus, and you're saying, preacher, you've been talking about heaven. I want to go to heaven. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord God, I'm sorry for my sins. I need you right now. Come into my heart. Forgive me, Jesus, from all of my sins. Help me, Lord, to do your will. Forgive me, Jesus, for everything I've said and everything I've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you said that and you meant that prayer, Christ has come into your heart. Christ has come into your heart. I believe that God loves you and God will continue watch over you as you submit your life to him tonight. As you've submitted your life, now you need to grow in Christ. You need to grow in God's grace. I invite you every Wednesday at 7:30 to join us in our Bible study. Our weekly schedules, our Sunday mornings, we have our worship and praise Sunday mornings on Zoom, but you can join us by 11:30, 11:35 on Sunday mornings on Facebook. We'd love to have you. If you're in Germany, I see that we have people in Germany, in Russia, and India. I'm not sure about Russia, but I know we have in Germany, in Palestine, in Pakistan, other parts of Africa. Those of you've been joining me in this Bible study, God bless you in our worship services. May God continue to bless you. So when I'm telling you one time, I know you have a different time zone. Please look at your time zone and join us accordingly. Love to have you join with us. And if you're on Facebook, you can always go back and listen to the message. But sometimes while I'm ministering, you're already in the middle of the night somewhere or just waking up in the morning. So you won't have time to do that. But the message is always on Facebook. You can go back and listen to our messages. And so may God bless each and every one of you. If you would like to be a blessing to this ministry, please, we invite you to send a monetary gift that the work of God can continue in Abundant Grace and Truth Church. You can go to our church website, AGAT Church. That's AGAT as in Tom Church. And if you'd like to give through Cash App, we have $AGAT Church. That's $AGAT Church. You can get through Cash App. Or if you'd like to give, send a check or money order, no cash, you can send it to AGAT Church, 26 Walnut Street, Teaneck, New Jersey, 07666. And we would love to have you joining with us. Those of you who are members of Abundant Grace and Truth Church, don't forget your tithes and offerings. We need your tithes and offerings. Biblically, the Bible tells us to give to that storehouse. And the storehouse for us is our local church. Amen. The Bible says, as you give, God will bless you. Those who may not be a member of our church, we invite you to give here. You have a local church. You have a church. Don't forget, give your tithes there. Don't give me your tithes from your local church. No, no, no. Take your tithes, give it to your local church. But if you'd like to give a special offering to our church, if you're not a member of our church, we receive it in Jesus' name. Well, thank you, Laisha, our technician and our person working with us on our screen. We bless you. We thank you so much for joining us. Those of you on Facebook, love you. Love you so much. So many guests that came on to be with us today. We love you. We thank you for joining us. May God's word richly bless you as you study God's word. Pray for us. Pray for your bishop, Bishop Dixon. I pray for Pastor Angie. Pray for us as we continue to celebrate. Even this month is Pastor's Appreciation Sunday. We're going to have our own celebration this Sunday. Amen. As we close out the month And so God bless each and every one of you as we continue to do the will of God. God keep you. I pray for it right now, God. Brother Kenneth, you told me to don't forget to pray for him. I pray for Brother Kenneth, God, that you'll continue to watch over Brother Kenneth. Continue to watch over your word to perform it. Bless him, oh God, as he comes. Bless him as he goes, oh God. Touch even his family, oh God. Touch Laisha, oh God. Help her, oh God, in her studies as she continue to study for her permit, God. Continue to open up her mind, her understanding. Thank you for successfully, oh God, blessing her to pass this test, oh God. Thank you for opening up her mind and her spirit. Bless us and we shall be blessed. Keep us under your precious blood as we go in and out, as we do your will in Jesus' name. May God continue to bless each and every one of you. May God's word continue to watch over you as you walk by faith. Listen, as you walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Be blessed of the Lord. Amen. Until we meet again. Love you in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you.